are. Hey, Aleph Ahmed Aleph, 81A. We are about 10 lines down the page. Amar of Hamnuna. Still dealing with a discussion about Shechita She'ena Re'uya. We're defining Shechita She'ena Re'uya as Shechita which will not render the animal permitted for eating. That's specifically the categorization. We'll see a little bit more about that later. But Shechita She'ena Re'uya and Osa Li'ez Beno. So Amar of Hamnuna. Omer Haya Rabbi Shimon, Ein Osav Ez Beno Noig Bekachim. Rabbi Hamnuna informs us that Rabbi Shimon will say that Osav Ez Beno is not relevant when you're dealing with Karbanos, and this is an idea we've already seen. My time, why? Kevin Dom, Rabbi Shimon Shchita She'en Ruya Losh Mashchita, since he believes that if it doesn't permit you to eat the animal, it's not Shchita. So all shchita of kachim, of karbanos, even when it's done right, will not permit you to eat the animal. I'm sorry, is if we're not considered to be a proper shchita, because you still need the zrikas hadam, you still need to put the dam on the mizbeach. The shchita is not completing the task. That's what it sounds like right now. We're going to refine that later on the amud, but that's the idea. Good? Good. So Masiv Rava. Rava brings us a challenge here, and this is actually pretty funny. Ramban comments here that Masiv and Meisve are usually, here's a Mishnah, here's a Brisa, so something I'm familiar with from somewhere else. I can footnote it to somewhere else. But in this case, Rava's quoting something we've never heard of. It doesn't appear anywhere else in Shas, and Ramban says, don't worry about it. It's standard in the Gemara that an Amora will be familiar with some discussion that didn't make the final cut. It didn't make it into Shas as we know it. So this is our source. So Rava quotes something we don't have. Osov ez beno kachim b'chutz. If you shecht the parent and child animal, and they're both karbanos, and you shecht them outside the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Shimon Omer Sheni Belo Sase. This is, if you're looking at the sheet, the table that I gave you there, this is outside A. Meaning, the first animal and the second animal are both karbanos, they're shechted outside the Beis Hamikdash, and it's the first version of what happens. So Rabbi Shimon Omer Sheni Belo Sase. So Rabbi Shimon says that the second one is subject only to a lo sase for shchute. For shechted carbon outside the Beis Hamikdash. If you take a look at Rashi, he fleshes that out. Sheni belosas a dishchut echutz ve'afal pi she'eno bekares. Granted that kares will not apply. Delav miskabel bifnimhu, because when you get to the second animal, it's no longer acceptable in the Beis Hamikdash because the mother was already shechted. Mikomakom belosas sehu. Still, there's a losas a hoel v'ratzu la'acharzman, because it could have been suitable had you just waited. So that's the idea. In the end of Zvachim, they explain what the lo sase is. Lo sasen kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom yishkol asher beinav. Don't do what we do here today, and so on. But the point is that Rabbi Shimon here in the first version, outside A, says that the first one is going to be chutz. Right? The first one is Shchutei Chutz for sure, and that's Kares. The second one is a Lo Sase. Shehayu Rabbi Shimon Omer back in the Gemara, because Rabbi Shimon used to say, Kol Haroi Lavo La'achar Zman, if it would be suitable, were you to wait, Hareyu B'Lo Sase Vein Bo Kares, then if you bring it outside the Beis HaMikdash today, it's a Lo Sase, no Kares. Whereas, V'Chachamim Omerim Kol She'in Bo Kares, Eino B'Lo Sase. The Chachamim disagree and say no. If there's no Kares, there's no Lo Sase either. Either it's Kares, or if it's not suitable for inside the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore there's no kares, then there's no lo sase either. V'kashyolan, and Rava says, having learned that, we then were bothered by that. We were bothered by this statement of Rabbi Shimon's position, because kachim b'chutz sheni b'lo sase visulo, the bached's in visulo. You're telling me that if he shechts the karchim out, the karbanos, outside the Beis Hamikdash, the second one is under a lo sase, and that's it? There is no kares, that's it? Kama mikto katil. According to Rabbi Shimon's view, the first one was simply killed. It wasn't shechita, because we say that shechita of a karban is not really shechita. So sheni, therefore, the second one, mikabel or miskabel it should be, bifnimu. The second one would be acceptable inside the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore kares nami l'chayev. So therefore it's full shchutei chutz. That's the argument. It should really be kares for each of them. And that's what I put in the second line on the table. Outside of B, the second version of what will happen if you shech two karbanos sequentially outside the Beis HaMikdash, same day, is kares for both. Because it's other shchita chutz. It's shchita, right? So it's, this is what we had said yesterday. Also, when he says it's not really shchita, it's sort of fudging it. It is shchita. It's just not full shchita. It's shchita as far as tumah and tahara is concerned. Also, it's shchita insofar as you're liable for shchutei chutz, but it's not shchita insofar as osuv as bino is concerned. It's not really a discrediting of the act as shchita altogether.
This price doesn't say anything about the first one anyway, so there's no cash. That's true.
Well, yeah, okay. I understand what you're saying. Yes, but it's true anyway. But you're right. Technically, the Braisa has not said that. So Rava here on this explains va'amar Rava va'amri la kedi chesuri machzor v'achi ketani. So Rava says, or some had it as kedi saying it the either way. He says, you know what? We're missing some text here, and this is the way you should read it. Kachim shneim b'chutz. If they're both kachim and you shut them both outside, so l'rabbanan, according to the rabbanan, I didn't include them in the table because the point of the table was Rabbi Shimon's view. But according to the rabbanan, rishon anush kares. The first one is kares. That's straight up shchita outside the base hamikdash. They consider it shchita, so no one's gonna have a challenge to that. Sheni pasul. The second one is disqualified. Upater, but there is no liability because it's osuv as bino. Therefore, the animal is not suitable inside the base hamikdash. The Bach takes out the next three words. Upater milav deshchutei chutz. But you get the idea. L'Rabbi Shimon, Shneim Anushim Kares. Was Rabbi Shimon says he had Kares for both. Okay, so there you have it. It now says Kares for both. Echad b'chutz ve'echad b'fnim. On the other hand, if you shecht one outside, and then the second one inside, right, which is your third line in the table, outside and then inside. So l'Rabbanon, the Rabbanon will say what? Rishon Anush Kares. The first one is up for Kares. It's straight Shchutei Chutz. Sheni, the second one, is Oso V'Yaz Bino, so it's no good wherever you shecht it. Puzzle, so therefore it's disqualified as a carbon. Upater, but there's no liability. Correct. No, but even no losase either. L'Rabbi Shimon, Sheni Kosher. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, or no losase for Oso V'Yaz Bino at any rate.
He ties in. No carbon, no lamp, right?
Right. Rabbi Shimon is Sheini Kasher. Rabbi Shimon will say the second one is actually Kasher, because when you shafted the first one outside the Beis HaMikdash, that was for sure, that's Shchutei Chutz, that's Kares. Rabbi Shimon believes in that. However, when you get to the second one, it's not Osev Yaz Bino, because the first one wasn't called Shchita. Therefore, the second one is actually a valid carbon. You shafted it inside the Beis HaMikdash, you're fine. Echad Bifnim, the Echad
B'chutz. The tour is not, is only talking about
Shchutei Chutz. I don't think that he's talking about this case, though. Because this case is the case where the second one was inside. Of course, it's not Shchutei Chutz. I think you're reading a Rashi about a different one. Which Rashi are you reading?
Sheni Pasul, Pasul, and then the next Rashi also says that. Shimon, Sheni,
right, but this is not even a case of Shchutei Chutz. The second one that you shot was inside the Beis HaMikdash. It's inside the Beis HaMikdash. It can't be Shchutei Chutz. The Echad Bifnim ve'Echad B'chutz, the next case, is the case where the first one was shafted inside the Beis HaMikdash, the second one was shafted outside the Beis HaMikdash. So L'Rabbanon Rishon Kasher U'Pater. The first one, you're fine. Right? It's a normal carbon. You shafted it inside the Beis HaMikdash. Good. The use of the word pater is only to be parallel with all the other cases. But of course, there's no liability. Sheni, the second one, pasul, is no good because it's a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash and it's osuv as bino. So it's pasul as osuv as bino, upater, and you're exempt from liability for Shchutei Chutz because it wouldn't have been accepted inside the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, it's nothing. It's not a carbon either. L'Rabbi Shimon, Sheni Belosase. Whereas Rabbi Shimon will say, no, there's a Losase for the second one that you shechted because it wouldn't have been accepted inside the Beis HaMikdash.
Because the first one was good.
No, but Rabbi Shimon says the first one is not Ru'uya. Right? It's not Osev Yaz Bino. It's not Osev Yaz Bino. Rabbi Shimon says,
Sheni. The first one. Everything was good with the first one.
Oh, right. So that's a, no, right. That's why we have a question. Right. Now we ask the question. If you believe that Osov Yezbeno does not relate to Karbanos, I don't understand his last ruling. His last ruling was that when the first one was done properly, the second one only has a losase. But why? It only has a losase for chutz. Because, well, it's also Osov Yezbeno. But you don't believe in Osov Yezbeno for Karbanos. I know. Rav Hamnuna told me. He says, Shani, amai belosa sevesula. Why is the second one only under a prohibition? Karis nami lechayiv. It should be full-blown shchutechus. You shechted a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ella amar Rava. So Rava says, you know what? I have to correct your understanding of Rav Hamnuna. Hachi ka'ama Rav Hamnuna. This is what Rav Hamnuna said. Rav Hamnuna did not say Osov Yezbeno doesn't apply to Karbanos. That's not true. Ein malkos Osov Yezbeno noi bekachim. But there are no malkos. And the reason for it is, the next words are my time according to the Bach. Why is this so? Kevan de kol kama, that's also Bach. Kevan de kol kama de lo zarik dam lo mishteri basar me in de kashachet havi hasra safek vahasra safek lo shma hasra. He says, you know why? This is a true hasra safek. And Rashi understands it as a true hasra safek here, although he's about to reject it. But this is a normal hasra safek. Hasra safek means a warning that's in doubt. And the idea is that at the time that I give the warning, I don't know that the action you were going to perform, the action I'm warning you about, is actually a prohibited action at all. It could be that the action that I'm warning you about is actually fine. Not like the case that Rashi gave yesterday with hasra safek, where your action might be fine because I'm not sure how we rule on it. But hasra safek here, because at the time that you shecht the animal, the zrika has not yet happened, and if the zrika doesn't happen, then it isn't a valid shechita. It didn't permit the animal for eating. It was a valid shechita, but it didn't permit the meat for consumption.
Hasra safek here is that you may not complete the avera.
Well, it's not just that you may not complete the avera, because that's true every single time you give a warning. The point is that the action I'm warning you about wouldn't in and of itself complete the avera. I'm saying to you, don't shecht. If you shecht, it's osov yezbeno, but it's not true, because there's still zrika involved. Right. And until the zrika is done, your shechita doesn't permit the animal for eating. That's why this is hasra safek. So he says, Rabbi Shimon believes, in fact, in osov yezbeno regarding karbanos. It's true, theoretically. The problem is that you can't give the guy lashes for it, because your warning is a doubtful warning. That's his statement.
You could give the right hasra. You could say, don't shecht, but if you do shecht, don't.
No, I can't, because then I'm telling you, if you do zrika, this is shchitas osov yezbeno. I'm warning you about a separate action, right? How can I do that? You can only warn about the action of the avera. I think that's why that doesn't work. Rashi is bothered here altogether. Rashi says, I don't think this is actually hasra safek here, because what are you talking about? This animal is not suitable inside the Beis HaMikdash. Once you shechted the mother, right? The young became off limits. And therefore, there is no shechita. Even if you do the zrikas hadam properly, there's still no shechita. It doesn't make a difference. So Rashi says this is actually wrong.
No hasra at all, but now.
Right, it's not exactly, and that's what Rashi's wording is. He says it's not hasra. So Rashi says, take out everything after that Bach letter gimel, the maitaima. Rashi says, some Talmud thought he was sharp, and he put this last few lines in there, but it's all wrong. He says, take it out. The whole explanation that it's hasra safek is not relevant. It's simply there is no malkos for osov yezbeno by kachim. It's a little bit difficult, and you have to see more on this in the other mefarshim. But that's what Rashi does to it. In any case, we are five lines up from the bottom. Va'azda Rava letamei Rava, when he says this, that it's hasra safek and that osov yezbeno does apply, it's just not the malkos, is following his view elsewhere, as stated elsewhere. Da'amar Rava, because Rava says, he chulin ubna shlamim. If the parent is chulin, the kid is a shlamim karban. Shachat chulin v'achakach shachat shlamim. And first you shachted the chulin, and then you shachted the karban, so then you're going to be potter. And that is the idea of hasra safek, because after all, the shechita may not lead to a proper zrika, and therefore it won't be a valid shechita for our purposes. Whereas shlamim v'achar kachulin, if you shecht the shlamim first, and then afterwards you shecht the non-karban, so then chayiv, you'll be liable, because once you shecht the first, we're assuming you did your shechita and your zrika. Rashi notes that. And then afterwards you did the chulin. So at that point you already know that in fact it's also v'yas b'no. Your first one was a shechita that led to eating, and your second one was and your second one was shechita of chulin. This is within Rabbi Shimon. That's correct.
What would the rabbanon hold?
The rabbanon, in which case?
Where one's chulin, one's kashya.
So they'll say it's definitely also v'yas b'no. The where one is chulin and the other one is kachim, they'll say, yeah, that's also best, but no. And as long as you do it inside the Beis HaMikdash, then there's full, you know, that's full liability. V'amar Rava, and Rava also said, completing the thought on this, he chulin ubnah ola. Let's say the mother is chulin and the kid is now an ola, and therefore no one's eating it. So it's not shechita that leads to eating. Shechita she'ena ra'uya means a shechita that doesn't lead to eating. So it's a proper shechita, but no one's eating the meat. So he says, lo mebaya shachat chulin v'achakach shachat ola depater. Number one, if you shecht the chulin first, and then you shecht the karban ola, you're going to be exempt from liability, because it's not shechita that leads to eating. Tapa payala from Bez 81b. Ela filu, correct, that's an ola, that's the point. Correct. Ela filu shachar ola ve'achakach shachar chulin pater. But even if you reversed it, even if you shecht the ola first, and Rashi said you did this because Adam, nonetheless, there is no osav as beno, because shechita kamaisa lav shechita bas achilahi. Because again, your first shechita did not lead to consumption. It isn't just that the second one.
What if you have two kachim, both olos?
Then it's also not osav yas b'no. That's correct.
Where did the achila come into it? The pasuk only says not to shecht.
Correct, because Rabbi Shimon's definition of shechita is shechita that leads to achila. Since the pasuk didn't just say don't kill it, it said don't shecht it, it means shechita that will permit the meat for eating. That's our definition of shechita. We'll see more about that in the next Mishnah here.
Right away tomorrow.
Yeah, so that's the next question. Good. Rabbi Yaakov Amar Rabbi Yochanan Achilas Mizbeach Shma Achila. Rabbi Yaakov Saita Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, when the Mizbeach eats, that's called eating. My time a wise Amar Krok, because the pasuk says V'im Heachol Yeachil Mibesar Zebach Shulamav. They talking about the laws of Pigul. So it's talking about something going on the Mizbeach, and the term is Heachol Yeachil, for it to be eaten. So therefore, therefore we see that b'shteach, actually no, I'm sorry, it's not talking about eating. Rashi notes it's either you eating it or putting it on the mizbeach, but the point is the term he'achol ye'achel, the double expression, is up for analysis. B'shteachilos hakasav bedaber, we're talking about two different types of eating, echad achilas adam ve'echad achilas mizbeach. That's the idea.
So God is also subject to the same.
Well, apparently. So therefore, with the Ola, it will then be called Osav Yas Beno. Vaiter. Mishnah. New Mishnah, still in the issue of Shechita She'ena Re'uya. You can't get away from it. The Hashochet V'nimtza Treifa. You shecht an animal and it turns out to be a Treifa. Hashochet L'Avodah Zarah. Or a person shechts an animal intending it to be for Avodah Zarah. The Yosef Das quotes the Ran. We saw this back in the beginning of Chulam and Daf Yudalid. He doesn't become a mumar in shechting for Avodah Zarah until after it's over. So therefore, this is called a Kasher Shechita. It's not called shechita of a mumer when he shechts for avodah zara. The vashoche paras chatos. If someone shechts the para aduma, which again, all of these cases, you're not eating the animal. If it's a trefa, if it's a avodah zara, if it's a para aduma, vishor haniskal. If he shechts an ox which was supposed to be killed for having killed someone, so now so again, you're not allowed to eat it. Ve'egla arufa, or if he shechts the egla arufa, bad idea. We're assuming, as Rashi notes, that the egla arufa is off limits. You're not allowed to benefit from it already while it's still alive. Neseres mechayim. So Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says in all those cases you are exempt from liability. Shechita she'ena ra'uya, it doesn't lead to edible meat. V'chachamim mechayiv, and the chachamim say no, you are chayiv. It's still shechita. the seifa of the Mishnah. Shochev v'nisnabla b'yada. What if you shecht and you bungle the job? It becomes an avela instead, unintentionally. V'anocher v'hame'aker, or someone who does it on purpose. He pulls out the simanim. He does something to kill the animal in a way that's not shechita. Potter mishum osav yas b'no. So he's not liable under osav yas b'no because it wasn't shechita. The pasuk said v'shachat.
According to Rabbah.
Yeah. According to everybody, correct. That's not Shechita. Rabbi Akiva Eger notes here, he's only exempt under Osav Yasbino. If you take your animal and you're nocher, you're oker on purpose, so you're liable, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, for Tzar Bali Chaim and Baltashris. It's only that you're not liable for Osav Yasbino, but there still is his liability.
Maybe it's less Tzar Bali Chaim by Nichur than Shechita.
By Nichur?
No.
Tear the thing open? Amar Bishira ben Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Lo Shanu, we're referring back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where we talked about the Avodah Zarah case. So Reish Lakish says, the Lo Shanu Ela Sheshachad Rishon Avodah Zarah V'Sheni L'Shulchano. You're only going to be liable for Osov Yasbino, according to the Chachamim, assuming that you first did the Avodah Zarah one, and your second one, which was the one that made it Osov Yasbino, was the one you shackled that was not for Avodah Zarah, it was L'Shulchano, for your own table. Avol Rishon L'Shulchano V'Sheni L'Avodah Zarah. But if your first one is the normal one, and the second one was Avodah Zarah, then Potter. Why? Because guess what? You won the jackpot. You're liable for Avodah Zarah. We're not going to give you anything for the Osav Yasbino. We're too busy executing you. So that's what we call Kim Leib Derav Amine. We give him that which is greater, the greater penalty. That's the idea. It's where the first one was a different penalty. Rashi notes here. Right, he's Chayav Misa for Avodah Zarah. That's correct. So if you take a look at Rashi, Ela Sheshachad Rishon LaAvodah Zarah, V'Chazer V'Shachad As HaSheni L'Shulchano L'Echol. The first one was for idolatry. The second one was for his table. D'Daininon Le'Bereisha Ahasra D'Sheni D'Ozav Yasbino. So what we'll do, if the first one was the one for Avodah Zarah, and the second one was the regular one, so then what we'll do is first we'll punish him for Ozav Yasbino. We'll give him the lashes for that. Then we go back and judge him for the Avodah Zarah, and then we'll execute him. Rashi is bothered. Because if the first one was Avodah Zarah, and the second one was Osav Yasbino, so you're going to kill him for the Avodah Zarah. How does he get tried on Osav Yasbino? So Rashi's first answer is, we just reverse the order of the trials. Inami b'shnei b'nei adam. Alternatively, it's two different people. That would be the other way to do it. In any case, our point here is that kimle b'derab amine, the idea that we can only give the greater of the two penalties that are upon him, means that if the Avodah Zarah Shechita is the Osav Yasbino one, he's not going to be tried for Osav Yasbino. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, to which Rabbi Yochanan says, why are you wasting my time with that? Zu afilu tinoko shabez rabban yodin osa. That's not a lesson deduced from our Mishnah, and any school child knows that. Right? Don't be insulted. Ella, pa'amim sha'afilu shachad riz Rabbi Yochanan. When he was a school child, he knew that. Ella, pa'amim sha'afilu shachad rishon l'shulchano v'sheni l'avodah zarah chayev. What we're saying is this. Sometimes, even if the first one was for your own table and the second one was for avodah zarah, even still, you're going to be liable for Osav Yasbino. How? If the only warning he got was the Osav Yasbino warning, he didn't get the Avodah Zarah warning. So if he doesn't get the Avodah Zarah warning, he only got the Osav Yasbino warning. Granted that what he did was Avodah Zarah, his liability in court is going to be under Osav Yasbino. That's the Tanakhama. That's the first view that Reish Lakish is apparently quoting. I'm sorry. It's not a Tana, but it's the view that he's quoting and then disagreeing with. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar, Reish Lakish himself says, I disagree. Kevan de ki asru bay potter. By the way, it's not clear to me that Rabbi Shlakish was quoting somebody, whether this is Rabbi Yochanan alone, but the Gemara's language of Ella makes it sound like it's someone Rabbi Shlakish was quoting. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Kevan de ki asru bay potter. Kilo asru bay nami potter. He says no. Since you committed an act of Avodah Zarah, had they warned you properly, you would not have been liable for Osav Yasbino. Therefore, even in the absence of a proper warning, you're still exempt from Osav Yasbino. The principle of Kimle B'Derab Amine will still apply. It's a remarkable statement. Va'azdu l'tamayu. And you should know, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are consistent in their views elsewhere with this. Dechi asa Rav Dimi, because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported the following. Omar, he said, Chayve misos shogigin. The Chayve Malkos Shogigin, Vidavar Acher, if a person commits an act accidentally, it's an act which, were it committed intentionally, would warrant Misa or Malkos lashes, right? But he did it accidentally. There was no proper warning. He does that, and simultaneously, he commits an act that would just get him some other penalty. Actually, it's Mammon, based on the Gemara here. It's something that would generate financial liability. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Omer Chayev, Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, said, since you're not getting Misa or Malkos, therefore you owe the money. Reish Lakish Omer Pater. Reish Lakish says no, Pater. Why? Rabbi Yochanan Omer Chayev de Halo Asrubo. Rabbi Yochanan says because they didn't give him a proper warning for Misa or Malkos, therefore all he has is his financial debt. Reish Lakish Omer Pater. Reish Lakish says no, he's exempt. The Kevan de Ki Asrube Pater. Since had they warned him, he would have been exempt. Kilo Asrube Nami Pater. Even without the warning, he is still going to be Pater. Utsricha, and you needed to mention the case of money in addition to the Oso Vesbino discussion, even though they're consistent with their positions. I wouldn't have been able to deduce one from the other. Why? De'iash me'inan beha, had you only taught me in our case, meaning in the case of Oso Vesbino, right, the lashes case, so then I would have said, beha ka'ama Reish Shimon ben Lakish, I would have said that's where Reish Lakish takes his stand and says that even in the absence of the proper warning for the other, he's still going to be exempt from liability. That's where he says it. Aval beha, but in the case of money, Ema Modi Leila Rabbi Yochanan, maybe he would acknowledge Rabbi Yochanan's point of view. The reason being, if you take a look at Rashi, Baha Ka'amar Reish Lakish is about six lines down in the wider lines. Baha Ka'amar Reish Lakish to Pater, Reish Lakish says Pater in the Oso Vesbino case, to Pater Mimalkos, however, Yesh Peshchita Zut, Sad Misa, since in his act of Shchita there's an element of death, granted it's not carried out, Pakale Taras Malkos Mine, that removes the lashes, because Detarte Begufa Lo Ramu Ale, because we're not going to give him two physical punishments. It's not even upon him to receive to physical punishments. So even if they don't warn him for the death penalty, the lashes don't apply. But if it's Misa and something that's entirely different, like financial penalties, one is physical and the other is financial, I would have said no, both are upon him. And it's just that if he's getting the death penalty, then he's not paying. But otherwise he is. So in other words, his argument is, it's a fascinating argument, the idea is that if a person commits an act which should get death and Malkos, so Malkos is gone because we don't give two physical penalties, Malkos is subsumed under the death one. Whereas if it's an act that should have physical life, right, whereas if it's physical here and financial there, the two aren't grouped together, and as soon as the physical is removed because you didn't give him the warning, the financial takes its place. That would have been my argument. The Baha Imam Modul of the Rabbi Yochanan back in the Gemara, six lines up from the bottom. The Etmar Baha, and had you only said this one, meaning the money one, Baha Kam Rabbi Yochanan, that would have said, well, that's where Rabbi Yochanan says that both penalties pertain, because one is physical and one is financial. Aval Baha, but in our case of Oso Vesbino, the Imam Modul of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, maybe he would in fact agree with Reish Lakish that that both of them are cancelled. The Tzricha, therefore you needed both. Okay, the Gemara now goes back to the Mishnah and the case of Parah Aduma, where you said that Parah Aduma is also Shchita She'en Ra'uya, it's not suitable for eating. Uparas Chata Shchita She'en Ra'uya, you're going to tell me the Parah Aduma is not proper Shchita? V'atanya, but I have a brisa which says the following. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Parah Mitama Tumas Ochlin, Hova Isala Sha'asa Kosher. Rabbi Shimon says that the Parah Aduma communicates Tuma like food. Right? The rule is that food can receive tumah with a proper hechsher, assuming it's mochshel lekabel tumah. So it can communicate tumah if you have an egg-sized amount. How of aisla sha'as hakosher? Because at some point it was suitable for eating. What is the suitability for eating? The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rish Lakish explains on the top of Daf Pei Beis, Omer Hayy Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Para Nifdei Sagabe Ma'arachasa, because you can redeem the Para Aduma even when it's about to be burned. You can still redeem it. Assuming that, well, that's Rashi. Rashi says, why would I be redeeming it? The answer is, you found a nicer one in a Hanami. So the Rish Lakish says, the Rabbi Shimon says, in fact, that you can redeem the Para Aduma. You're able to. That's why it has Tumas Ochlin. Well, if you can redeem it and eat it, then why do I say it's Shchita Shein Ru'uya? So frankly, I would have answered because it's still missing redemption. Yeah. Right? Just like the Shchita by Kachim was missing Zrika, I would have given that answer.
Well, yeah, but there's a potential for that. That's
right. No, but you could have said, well, this is not a valid Hasra. But in any case, that wouldn't remove the Yisr, it would only remove the Hasra, based on our conclusion of the previous discussion. But in any case, Amar Bishim Bar Abba, Amar Yochanan, Paras Chadas Eina Mishnah. He says, yeah, you're right, take that out, that's a mistake in the Mishnah. Rashi is bothered, because Para Aduma has a natural Tumah. Right? It's Metame, the Harvard, and all that. So Rashi is bothered by that, and he comes up with a case in which it'll communicate more Tumah this way. If you had less than an egg-sized amount of dough that was attached to it, so it wouldn't have Tumas Ochlin, but it'll have that's the way that Rashi deals with it. But Tosus notes that the natural Tumah is only for the people who are actually doing the Avoda. It doesn't communicate Tumas Stam. So this, in fact, is an added level of Tumah, the Tumas Ochlin. Ayin Sham Tosus for more on that. God willing, Harold, you're doing tomorrow, or Yaakov, you're doing tomorrow? All right, Yaakov's taking care of tomorrow.